You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, many people consider the ice cream truck to be a classic icon in a hot American summer. We'll talk to our guest about the history of the ice cream truck and the nostalgia that goes along with it. First, tomorrow's Election Day here in Wisconsin. Democratic voters will decide which of eight candidates will face Governor Walker in November, assuming he survives his primary challenge, as is expected. Republicans will vote on what's become a contentious race for U.S. Senate between Marine veteran Kevin Nicholson and State Senator Leah Vukmir. The winner will take on Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. Millions of dollars in outside money have poured into the race. Just last week, the pro-Nicholson PAC, Solutions for Wisconsin, launched a TV ad that attacked Vukmir for comments she made in March of 2016, critical of then-candidate Donald Trump.
Leah Vukmir got a big laugh when she attacked Donald Trump.
He's offensive, but he's offensive to everyone. He's offensive to women. He's offensive to men. He's offensive to little people. He's offensive to fat people. He's offensive to everyone. I mean, he offends everyone.
She sounds like Hillary.
He's offensive to everyone. I mean, he offends everyone.
If you think you can trust Leah Vukmir to support President Trump, the joke's on you. Solutions for Wisconsin is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Vukmir later endorsed Trump after he won the Republican nomination and has defended him as president. About a month ago, the group Wisconsin Next PAC rolled out an ad in support of Vukmir. It called out Nicholson for his pro-abortion stance while he was president of College Democrats of America and features a clip of him speaking at the 2000 Democratic National Convention.
President Trump needs an ally he can trust in the U.S. Senate. That's not Kevin Nicholson. Nicholson on Life.
We care about a woman's right to choose.
That's pro-choice.
A woman's right to choose must be protected.
Kevin Nicholson addressed the Democratic National Convention.
The Democratic Party shares our values.
Kevin Nicholson, we can't trust him. Fortunately, there's a consistent conservative running for U.S. Senate, Leah Vukmir. Wisconsin Next PAC is responsible for the content of this effort.
Nicholson has said he's become much more conservative since then and that his ties to the Democratic Party are well in the past. So how do these PACs work? Who's funding them and what effect have they been having on the race? Eleanor Neff Powell is an associate professor of political science at UW-Madison. She's an expert on Congress, political parties, and money in politics. Eleanor, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, when you tally up what the Republicans, Nicholson and Vukmir, have spent, and the Democrat, Baldwin, plus the outside groups, $37 million so far, the most in the nation, I guess, for a U.S. Senate race. What's your reaction to that? Is that surprising?
It is and it isn't. It isn't surprising in the sense that this is one of the most hotly contested races. You know, Tammy Baldwin, the incumbent, is running for re-election in a state that's been going Republican the last several election cycles. So on the one hand, that makes it makes sense that it would be an expensive race. But on the other hand, we're not that expensive a media market. So typically more expensive media market states tend to have more expensive races.
Now let's key in on this Republican primary. I don't know if people expected it to be this contentious and to have this much money coming into it. We'll look at each of the candidates in a bit, but I don't think Republicans were planning to lay out that much cash before they were running against Tammy Baldwin.
No, and I think they wish that they weren't. It's expensive and sort of wasteful relative to, you know, all the money they're going to need for the general election race.
And then Nicholson is being backed largely by one person, a businessman named Richard Uihlein. The Journal Sentinel says his groups have spent over $10.5 million in this race. Is this common that for a Senate race we'll see one key donor put that much money into it?
It's very unusual to be able to trace money back to a single donor, and he's doing this through a number of ways that skirt campaign finance limits. You're only supposed to be allowed to give just a little over $2,500 to a primary election race, but he's giving it through these outside groups who then spend the money on Nicholson's behalf. So that's how he's skirting the campaign contribution limits.
How much has this changed in recent years with Citizens United and I think the McCutcheon and other rulings? Is that having the impact now on this kind of spending we're seeing?
Yeah, we've seen over the last several years a number of court cases that have sort of limited or expanded campaign finance rules, but there have always been sort of creative donors and candidates who have found ways sort of around the existing rules, and we're just seeing an amplification of that in 2018.
And then Leah Vukmir is being supported by Beloit billionaire Diane Hendricks, among others, plus the Metro Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Can you talk about the money going in on her side here?
Yes, she's also benefiting from outside money, but as far as we can tell so far, it's a lot less outside money. So she's getting the help, but you know, she's getting help, you know, to the tune of, you know, $1 million, $2 million, and so it's, you know, much less than Nicholson has.
Does this kind of spending, does this kind of money and the ads it buys make a difference in what voters do and don't do when it comes to Election Day?
Well, money certainly isn't everything, and the candidate with the most money isn't the candidate that always wins. It depends a lot on how the money is spent. You know, just like with your own personal spending, you know, you can spend the money wisely, efficiently, reaching out to sort of voters strategically, or the money can be sort of frittered away. And one of the challenges with money coming from these outside groups rather than controlled by the candidate themselves is the candidate isn't allowed to have any control or influence over how that money is spent. So the candidate's really dependent on these outside groups targeting the money efficiently in ways that actually help the race.
On the other hand, does that allow some kind of deniability if these outside groups are the ones, say, running the more negative attack ads? The candidates can say, well, I don't have any control over that.
Exactly. It gives a perfect plausible deniability because legally they aren't allowed to have control over that. They can issue public statements about, you know, what they wish the group may or may not do, but they're not allowed to have any actual control over the money spent. So typically we see a lot of negative campaign spending through these outside groups.
And when we talk about the media, it seems like it's harder and harder. If I want to reach a bunch of voters, I don't know where to put my money because we don't all watch the same shows. There's not just three or four broadcast networks. There's more and more cable. And then people are getting away from cable, so there's internet and social media advertising. Is anybody keeping up with how to efficiently spend money to actually contact voters?
It's really hard, and it really depends on the nature of support that the candidates have. So different candidates, their viewers, their supporters watch different types of media, and so you need to really know your potential supporters pretty well to have a sense of the best way to reach out to them. And it's really tough to tell how these candidates are spending the money. You know, there's been great reporting talking about how much money has been spent on their behalf and some of the TV ad buys, but we don't know about, as you mentioned, digital spending, social media spending, et cetera, all of which could be important. And we don't know whether that's happening. We just don't know about it yet, or if there isn't as much, if they're not investing that way strategically.
Yeah, one thing that's got to make your job a little harder looking at campaign money is that a lot of times we don't know how the money was spent or even how much money was spent until after Election Day, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, this is one of the frustrating things about the current disclosure rules is that essentially the money doesn't have to, most of the money is spent in the last, you know, few weeks leading up to the election, and that money doesn't have to be reported until after the election. And so, you know, a couple of weeks from now, we can have a better conversation about what was and wasn't spent on the candidate's behalf. But right now, it's really difficult to know. We're sort of dependent on, you know, great reporting and sort of little bits and pieces we can find out here and there.
Talking to Eleanor Neff Powell, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Madison, looking at money in the U.S. Senate race here in the state, the primary and the general election. And Eleanor, we've been talking about, okay, big money going into this Republican primary. The incumbent, Democrat Tammy Baldwin, has racked up a lot of cash since she first got elected, right?
Yes, yes. She's so far in this cycle has raised over $21 million.
Is that common for a Senate incumbent?
Well, Senate races have been getting more and more expensive. It's common for what was expected to be one of the most hotly contested races going into the 2018 cycle. She's a vulnerable Democratic incumbent. The Democrats need to hold her seat to have any chance of taking the majority in the Senate, and so this is going to be a tightly fought race.
Are you expecting to see this be, in the end, one of the more expensive Senate races in the country? It's a key race. It's not the only one.
Yes, there are a number of high-profile races, and a number of those high-profile races are in more expensive states with much more expensive media markets than Wisconsin is. So it'll be interesting to see how it stacks up in the end. It'll also depend on how close the polling is once we finally see who the Republican nominee is.
How much campaign money these days goes into, I guess, what I'd call old-fashioned politics, getting volunteers or staffers, training them, knocking on doors, that kind of thing?
Well, it changes a lot, not just election cycle to election cycle, but candidate to candidate. Different candidates invest in different strategies. Some think it's better to sort of work on the local money to get out their local voters. Others feel like they need the TV and the social media ads to reach people. So it's difficult to say sort of there's not like a one-size-fits-all strategy to how people tend to spend their money in modern races.
Now, we've been talking about money that we know where it's going. We hear things about dark money where money is donated to an issue advocacy group who then might run an ad that doesn't say vote for candidate X, but ask candidate X why they're so terrible, something like that. Is that going on, and is that something we will know or ever know where the money came from?
That's a challenging question. You know, there are lots of these sort of outside groups through, you know, super PACs, through nonprofit organizations, 501c organizations, that have sort of more protected disclosure rules where they don't necessarily need to reveal the identity of their donors as much. And so we may be able to trace the money, you know, to the group, but we may not be able to trace the money to actual individuals.
And I should ask, we talked about some of the sources of money for the Republican candidates. How about Senator Baldwin? Are there common themes that emerge when you look at who is donating money to her campaign or in support of her campaign?
Well, she's raising money from a lot of different sources. You know, as one would expect, you know, for, you know, a high-profile incumbent, you know, she has, you know, some large groups supporting her, but, you know, she has a pretty broad range of sort of support from a variety of sort of Democratic and liberal groups.
As we start to wrap up, what are you going to be watching for when it comes to spending after tomorrow's primary election?
Well, I think one of the things that we're going to be looking for is, you know, trying to see, you know, who the Republican nominee is, but then sort of how they're going to be spending their money, you know, what sort of strategy they're going to take to take on Senator Baldwin. She, at least right now, has a lot more money in the bank and has raised a sort of a lot more money, and she's been leading in the polls fairly substantially. If she maintains a substantial lead in the polls against a challenger, once the challenger is known, it might be more difficult for the Republican candidates to raise the money, given how many hotly contested races there are. It'll depend sort of whether this race remains in that top tier or whether this one looks less competitive some of the others nationwide.
We'll leave it there for now. Eleanor, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Eleanor Neff-Powell is an associate professor of political science at UW-Madison. She specializes in Congress, political parties, and money in politics. Talked to her about the role of third-party spending in Wisconsin's Republican primary for U.S. Senate.